So Tim Versalotti is the director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, a man I much admire. Let me just start by saying to you, all of a sudden a new name has come out of the West, Joe Biden. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a bit of out of the blue would be a good characterization. The media have focused in recent days on internal discussions among supporters of the vice president who say he's taking a look at getting into the presidential race. And there's a certain emotional component to it that is very different from other would-be candidacies, in that at least one of the motivating factors that the media are talking about was the recent death of Vice President Biden's son, Beau Biden, and the suggestion that this was a wish that Beau Biden had for his father to take one more crack, a third try at the presidency. Biden, of course, ran in 1988, and then he ran again in 2008. And so there is some speculation that this latest, at least consideration, is fueled in part from the recent tragic event in the vice president's family.
Right. And that kind of variable, the emotional variable, can mean everything, can it? In when you poll, there's a whole situational aspect to polling. It's here's Joe Biden, here's what he stood for, here's what he did when he was a senator, here's what he did when he was a vice president, and then all of a sudden comes this extra variable, the death of a son. That's pretty important in polling, isn't it?
It is, to the extent of how the public views an individual, and it should. Joe Biden followed this path, and should he get into the presidential race, it'll be very interesting to see whether voters can separate out their sort of emotional feelings about the vice president from assessing his policy positions, assessing his time in office.
How many people will know what he said about credit cards, for example?
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know that. So let me ask you this. Why is Hillary Clinton, why are her negatives so high? Can you tell us anything about that?
I can speculate in terms of some of the reasons behind her negatives. She's been in the public eye for decades now. People have very firm views about her. There's not a lot of movement in terms of introducing herself or reintroducing herself to voters. People have a pretty clear sense of who she is. But she has come under quite a bit of criticism and attacks from the Republican Party and the Republican candidates in recent months as part of the presidential election cycle. And so that can push her numbers down in terms of favorability. The most troubling numbers are in terms of trustworthiness and honesty, where she gets fairly high negatives. And her campaign was asked, I was watching something recently where a campaign spokeswoman said, yes, we understand that, and we expect we're going to improve our standing on that as the campaign unfolds and as Hillary Clinton is more and more in the public eye and presents her ideas. But it does give some members of the Democratic Party pause. A good example was a question recently about the Keystone Pipeline and what her position would be on whether the federal government should approve construction of the pipeline, which originates in Canada, and therefore this is a matter before the State Department. It was before the State Department when she was Secretary of State as well. She did not reveal a position. She said, well, if I become president, I'll tell you my position. That doesn't sit well with voters. People don't want a pig in a poke. They want to know what your stand is going to be on this, especially something that's been discussed and debated quite a bit over the years. That seems like a misstep, and that seems like an error you would expect more from a new candidate than someone who's been in the public.
On the other hand, I don't know where her money is coming from. I do know that she has, I think after Jeb Bush, the second largest amount of money that has come in already, millions and millions and millions of dollars. Who knows who's given her the money?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And if you look at the breakdown, the interesting thing is she's raised about $47 million, and the vast majority of it has come in individual contributions or bundled contributions, where the federal limit is $2,700 per donor per portion of the cycle, primary versus general election, Jeb Bush has raised more than about $110 million. A large amount of that money, though, is coming from super PACs. Hillary Clinton does not have a significant amount of super PAC support yet. And I think that will change as we get further into the cycle. But right now, she's significantly in that area.
I'm sorry, Tim, but isn't this nothing more than a meat market? In other words, people want to buy influence. The closer you get to an election, the more it looks like Hillary might be the president, the more everybody has to invest in her. It's no different for governor or anybody else.
It's true. Any journalist who studied campaign finance records from city council all the way up to the presidency will see as you get further into the cycle, some donors hedging their bets.
Sure.
They're both candidates because they don't want to be frozen out. And there's, in the wake of the Citizens United ruling, which lifted limits in terms of how much private money can get into the public realm in terms of elections, this is troubling. I mean, Jimmy Carter was quoted recently as saying, we don't have a democracy anymore. That's a former president saying that. We had five presidential candidates visit with donors, a gathering of Republican donors put together by the Koch brothers to present their views in the hopes of winning significant campaign contributions. It's become fairly blatant in terms of attracting money, and the press has a hard time taking a look at where the money is coming from because the pathways can be obscured, and you're not always sure who's backing.
Now, I'm glad you raised the Koch brothers, because I think I saw a piece in the Times, saw it somewhere, which said that the Koch brothers have now become basically boogeymen, where many people are concerned, and that they are doing their best to change their image. Does this mean that people are on to the PAC business?
To the extent that they can get information, and again, these are the folks who pay the closest attention to politics. So the rank and file voters, I'm not sure they're as tuned in there. And that I saw the same coverage that did talk about the Koch brothers and their public perception and how to change things. They do give significant sums of money to philanthropic causes as well as political causes. But in the political realm, that's not always acknowledged. And then on the Democratic side, when you say Koch brothers, the Republican says George Soros in return. And of course, he's the boogeyman that Republican activists use when they talk about Democratic big money donors. And so we see a little bit of this on both sides.
Tim Versalotti, always wonderful to talk to you. You're such a smart guy, and I can't even imagine what it must be like to be one of your students at Western New England University, where you teach and where you tell them the way it is. Again, Tim, thanks for being with us. When we come back the next time, I got a whole bunch of other questions for you.
Thank you.